just want to talk to you a little bit about how to go about planning your career, how to go about preparing for the future in academia, and how to go about building your resume and your portfolio for that process. One of the things that was drilled into me early on was that this is yours. You're responsible for your outcomes. You're responsible for your path. You're responsible for what happens. And so everything we're going to talk to you about today is really geared towards being very proactive on your part, because the more proactive you are on building and preparing for your career in academia, the better and the smoother that whole process is going to go, the more that it's going to kind of meet your needs and meet what you need to do. So the first thing we want to talk to you about is just networking. And sometimes networking has a negative connotation, but I want to talk to you that it's not really about networking. It's about building partnerships and building those relationships that you're going to use. Relationships are extremely important in academia, and they're not just important for graduate students. Your professors build relationships all the time. They're always working together to kind of create those relationships, those bonds, because that's what helps them in their work, in their field, and it's no different for you. So how do you go about building those relationships? First of all, I want everybody to just look around the room. This is your first networking and building relationships. Know who the people you're going to grad school are, especially in your specific areas of interest, right? Because guess what? They're going to become professionals in academia. And so when they're those professionals, they're your peers. They're the people you can go to. There's the people there. Contact and reach out in your area with the people. If you're just starting the program, reach out to those that are in their fourth year, that are heading out of the program, okay? Because where are they going? To universities, in academic jobs. Build those relationships. Your first resource for relationships are amongst the people you are with right now in your area, and start to network and build those, which coincidentally, and I'm sure you guys don't need to be this, means that we actually should treat everybody really nice and each other nice. So try not to step on each other on your rise to the top, because you never know who's going to be useful once you get there. Not in a negative, I want to use people way. The second thing is, how do we build them with people who are currently working? And one of the things I want to dispel right now is the myth of unapproachability of sometimes for professors and for people working in the field, because that just doesn't really exist. I was working on a paper, working with a very specific topic, and I came across an article written by a guy back at Purdue University that was really related to me. So I sent him an email and said, hey, I saw this article that you were working on. I was interested. I wondered if I could reach out to you and ask you a couple questions about it. I resent him the email. He emailed me back, says, great, when can we do that? Let's set up a Skype chat. We Skype chat. He sent me four articles pre-posting that he was working on in related fields, and we were able to communicate back and forth. He gave me articles. He gave me great ideas. One of the things that I love about academia and I love about professors, and I know you guys will know this, but when you think about it, this is what they do. They have invested so much time and effort into their field, into their area of study, into their expertise, that just ask them a question and let them roll, because that's their baby and they're passionate about it. So don't ever be hesitant to talk to somebody, to a co-professional, to a professor about their field, what they do, what they're passionate about, and network with them. It is what they do. And I have yet, and I know that there's stories out there, I have yet to ever talk to a professor or an academic professional that isn't more than willing to help you, that isn't more than willing to spend a little time chatting with you. It's part of their mission. It's part of the mission of the university. And they know. They've been there. They've all went through the process. And so I'm sure there's ones who are grumpy and ornery. I haven't met them yet. Of course, I'm in a soft science, and they're a little more warmer and fuzzy over there. But in general, I think they're there to help you, and they're good. So network with them. The other ways that you're going to want to network and make sure that you're reaching out is your professional organizations and your conferences. So one of the things I want to talk to you a little bit about is, how do you go to a conference? How do you prepare for that conference? How do you prepare for that opportunity to meet with people? And really, it's no different than everything else that we do. I hate to throw this nasty word out to you, but it's research, right? Because when you're going to go to a conference, you should spend the time to research who's presenting, what they're presenting on, what university they're from, what their research interests are, what their background is, and you should have all that in your head. Understand and know the type of people who are going to go. Reach out to your professors who are going or that, and understand, okay, who else is likely to show up there? What other fields? What colleges? what universities are going to be there, and look at the people in that area who are going to go. So when you go there and you have an opportunity to meet with somebody and talk to them and they're wearing their little name badge or whatever, you already have an understanding and knowledge of who they are and what their research is. And you can ask an intelligent question. You can ask them some of the things that you might have in mind. You can ask them about their research. That is going to start building those networks. Networking isn't, and especially in academia, it isn't gland handing and smoozing. It is just building relationships of mutual interest. It's reaching out and showing, okay, this is what you're doing. This is what I'm doing. That's how you do it. And it's no different for your professors. That's what they go to the conferences for, to go and network and find other things. And research projects come out of it. Papers come out of it. That's what we do in academia. So just first of all, dispel the fear of it. It's what you're supposed to be doing. It's how the system works. And it's not even a system. It's not negative. It's great. That's what we're, a lot of the times that's the beauty emerges from those networking and those partnerships. And that's actually a big part of how new research and new insights happen. These contacts also become resources when it comes time to get a job and time to find, talk to individuals about, you know, employment needs. And it isn't this ominous like, oh, hey, buddy, can you hire me? It's more like, hey, I'm finishing up in a year with my PhD. I have a plan to pursue this area and this area. This is where I'd like to go. If you hear of anything, if you know of anything, would you please be happy to contact me? And there is nothing wrong with that. That is not putting them in a rough position. It's not causing problems. You are just reaching out and networking about what they can, what they might have heard or what they know. And that's how those relationships get formed. And there's a really valid reason for this. Sometimes people will say, well, I just don't have the networks and the resources, and that's why I'm not getting hired. Well, I want you to flip it for a second and flip it to the potential employer's perspective. Flip it to that potential university's perspective. Hiring somebody cold is, quite frankly, frightening as hell. It just is. Because you don't know what you're getting into as that university and that company. You don't know what else is going on behind the scenes or all of their personality. So anything you can do to alleviate those fears, that's why universities do extensive interviews, by the way. That's why they interview, which also usually involves going out to dinner or touring campuses or doing some of those other things, because they need to know the big picture, because they're entrusting you to their brand when you come and start interacting with students and start interacting with faculty. So anything you can do to alleviate some of those fears so they can know you as a person is extremely helpful, because we don't want to hire somebody at a university and find out 4 months down the road that there's some major red flags and issues that we don't even want to deal with at a university. And you've seen enough headlines to know that those exist and they're out there. So don't be afraid to network and to share some of those things. Use your major professors. Use your mentors that you have here on campus and develop those mentors. If you're working with your professor on a professional level and you're excelling and doing your best job in what you're doing, that's going to pay dividends. So when you go to your professor and say, hey, you know what, I'm getting close, what's out there? Who has a better contact in your field than your major professor who goes to these conferences, knows these people, knows these fellow researchers? Other professors are also ways to do that. Choose a mentor. Don't be afraid to choose a mentor or to have that mentor outside of the university. I co-taught a class with somebody from the University of Wisconsin in that, and that has proved a valuable relationship. He's one of the first references I use, okay? And those kind of things are useful to you as you're building this resume, as you're building your, and I hate to say building a resume because it sounds cheesy, but that's what you're doing. You're building your vita, right? Everything you do is geared towards that. And so one of the first things you need to do as you're going through is to sit down and just ask yourself, what's my end goal? What's my end desire? If your end desire is teaching heavy, then you make sure you're working with your department and your major professor on teaching those courses and getting that experience. If your end goal is to be is research heavy, then make sure you're getting those research experiences. No matter what, every one of you need a little bit of all of those. And you cannot leave that to chance, okay? It is not the university's job. It is kind of. But you cannot rely on the university and your major professor to plan your career and your experiences for you. The biggest thing I can tell you is you need to be proactive. You need to sit down early and say, when am I going to teach classes to get that experience? What research am I going to do? When am I going to do it? And who am I going to work with on it? What publications am I going to get? How am I going to get them? When am I going to get them? Who am I going to work with on them? In your guide, towards the end, it says doctoral job market analysis. But this is a little guide that you need to go through to ask yourself, okay, in my doctorate program, what's my vita going to look like when I emerge? And what is going to be on that vita? And it goes through what courses are you prepared to teach now? How are you going to get prepared to do others? And how's that experience? And it depends on your program. I do know that when I arrange like a general thing like this, everybody's program is a little different. So you're going to need to tweak this a little dependent on your program and what you do. My doctorate's out of the College of Education. Teaching is kind of important over there, right? Some of your programs, that isn't the major, is important to you. But everybody needs to have it. I don't care what you're in, because that's part of a university mission, no matter what. Even when you're research heavy, except for, you know, maybe postdocs and some of those things that are only research. But almost all faculty positions have at least some percentage of teaching to it. It may be 80-20, but they have some percentage of teaching. So you need some exposure to it, okay? Think about, you know, your research, the articles you're pumping out. Dependent on your field, again, this varies. But our instruction in my area was 2 to 3 by the time you graduate. 2 to 3 published peer-reviewed articles by the time you're done. And like I said, it's specific to the field. It may be different for you, but no matter what, the more the merrier, and you want to have that skill and want to have it on there. And those can be co-published or whatever. Conference presentations, that's part of that networking. That's part of what you do. When are you going to present? Where are you going to present? Be proactive about planning that, okay? All your research and community service and community outreach. The biggest message to that is no matter what your focus is and no matter where you're going, be proactive. Sit down. What semester am I going to do it on? How am I going to get that opportunity? What conferences are relevant to my field? When am I going to go? How am I going to plan it? You are responsible for building your vita, okay? And it might have been that 50 years ago you could come to the university and you could graduate with your PhD and you were going to get handed a job no matter what because you got the doctorate. That isn't the world anymore, okay? You have to be consciously building that vita so when you're done, you can prove excellence, that you can prove that you can do what you need to do, and you've built that along the way. So the biggest takeaway from that whole section is be proactive and build it, and don't expect the university to do that for you, okay? Don't expect them to totally walk your way through, okay, do you have an article yet? Are you going to present yet? You've got to build that. You're the one that's in charge of your outcomes. You're the one that's in charge of building that. And be proactive about it and plan for it. Suzanne's now going to talk to us about the other side of networking.